What's up, cuties? This is the Ritsu's Vibes podcast, and if you're looking for that moment of inspiration that comes when you least expect it, then you are in the right place. In this space, we talk about what happens to us every day through a special lens, the martial way of the samurai, which that genius, Ueshiba Morihei, transformed into the art of Aikido. What? You don't know what I'm talking about? Then stay with me. Today, let's talk about habits, those things we have to do every day and just can't stand. And as the fog thickens, we think, as Ligabue would say, that we could have lived by the sea. Our daily obligation can be avoided. In the best case scenario, we turn them into habits and numb ourselves. We do them automatically without thinking, and at the end of the day, we wonder, what have I done today? However, everything changes when we turn them into rituals. This is the magic of martial arts. Let's go. When I started practicing martial arts, I remember I didn't have huge expectations, but I wanted to learn as much as possible, as quickly as possible. This has always been a flaw of mine, a sort of bulimia related to studying. I wanted to know many things and had this anxiety to know them better and before others. As if there were some, I don't know, toaster to win in the end?
Nope.
My approach to studying completely changed when I started studying martial arts because I realized almost immediately that to perform complex movements, there were an infinite repetitions of seemingly very simple movements. This is also what is mesmerizing about great professionals. They repeat seemingly simple, unexciting, unspectacular exercises an infinite number of times and seem to find pleasure in this repetition. I absolutely didn't understand why until I experienced it myself on my own skin. The repetition of basic exercises doesn't lead us to quickly grasp these basic exercises. On the contrary, the more we repeat them, the more we study them, the more we realize there is something to learn. We keep going deeper like an endless well. Now in my training, I find myself repeating thousands of shomen, the vertical cut with the sword, and I repeat these thousand shomen all the same, one after another, rhythmically. Inside, I think they're not the same at all because I can make them perfect one after another. I study, repeat. Check the position of my hands, check the height of the sword, check if my shoulders are low, and I continue to repeat endlessly. Those who watch me from the outside often say, what are you doing? I mean, why you repeat 2,000 times the same things every day? And inside, I'm like, but it's not the same thing. This is one of the most beautiful feelings that the study of martial arts has given to me. Understanding how much of ourselves we can delve into, seeking the sublimation of the gesture, the perfection of the individual movement. But what does they have to do with the discussion about habits? Well, because continually repeating an exercise transforms it, when it becomes part of our life, into a habit. We know that we will go to training and we will have to do that. We will have to repeat a certain number of exercises at every session. And what's the risk of habit? The risk of habit is repeating that exercise without attention, without thinking. I've repeated it, I have to do it, let's do it. And that's where habit steals our time. That's where we say, what am I doing? Always the same thing. Is this a life? Yes, because if we leave the tatami and we apply it in real life, how many habits do we have in our day? How many gestures do we have to repeat continuously that because we repeat them every day have indeed become habits? We know we have to do them, and we do them numb, without thinking, without giving them any value. I refer to those who do a job that doesn't gratify them, to those who may not have a conceptual job, but a job that involves many repetition. Specifically, I refer to the small things of everyday life. You have to go to grocery shopping. Oh yes, you have to. You have to iron. You have to make that phone call to relatives you really don't want to hear from. But how many examples do we have? For example, for me, the prime example... Okay, I said examples like 3 times. Whatever. I don't know, is the mom's chat. The mom's chat is evil. I hate the mom's chat. I said it. I hate it. I can't stand it. It's not that I hate the mom's. I mean, by all means, I don't. I hate just this thing. Like, but when we were little, How did we manage to do everything without anyone taking care of our tasks? Now, it seems to be like a fundamental obligation that qualifies us as parents. And that's where I reflected and thought on what martial arts had taught me. Yeah, because when we continually repeat our exercises, it's martial arts. It's called kata, a precise sequence of movements, a precise codification of those movements. We are no longer just performing a habit, a repeated exercise. We have turned it into a ritual. It's not about doing something with a completely lost and unfocused mind. No, that is our ritual. That exercise must be perfect. That exercise must represent the best of ourselves. We represent ourselves as human beings in that single tiny movement. The essence of martial arts is this: repeating the basics to the point where we can concentrate our entire essence, our whole life, into that one small movement. We must put everything into it. And when we do this, the repetition is no longer a repetition, it's a ritual. It becomes something sacred. Attributing the dimension of sacredness to what we do makes that thing important, turns it into an expression of ourselves. This is what we do on the tatami, repeating the gesture until it becomes perfect, the kata. The more we repeat it, the more we know there is work to be done. But martial arts can be carried outside as well. If we transform our small habits into rituals, they are no longer just habits. They are sacred moments of our day. For instance, going back to the legendary mom's chat, I realized that for me, eye contact was necessary. So I thought, okay, let's see which moms I get along with and maybe those who are a bit more updated. Let's try to meet them. I don't know, let's have a coffee once a week, for instance. At the beginning, my absolutely mundane goal was, let's get a quick recap, have this coffee, figure out what I have to do with the kids quickly this week, and then we will talk about that next time. The point is, week after week, that meeting became something completely different. Because I said to myself, okay, there is this moment. I choose to work this way on this habit. Perfect. How can I sublimate it? And I started to pay attention to that moment. And the two moms who were supposed to give me a quick recap became two friends. They became two people with the same problems, people I can share everything with. Week after week, we realized we had many things in common. Not just our children. That coffee, that moment when we meet, is a breath of fresh air before, all the commitments of my day. Yeah, they inform me about all things related to children, but even though they spare me from all the tasks I have to perform, they are special. Everything became a ritual, a moment of sharing our thought, what we have inside, and I experience it with my whole being, giving it the utmost importance. The same goes for work. We have to repeat certain gestures many times. It's true that the work ethic today practically doesn't exist, because the first thing you are told is that you are replaceable. And if they don't tell you, rest assured, it's going to be like that. They will replace you after 2 days if you leave. I mean, at least it's like that in my work. But in reality, things are completely different. Yes, they can replace me. But the only person who can do the job that way, it's me. Those individual actions I repeat every day are executed in that way only because it's me. There is something special in those actions, and that special thing, it's me. The point is how much attention I give to this me, to this action. If I turn that moment into a ritual, there won't be perhaps entertaining actions, but it will be action that I don't do with a numb mind. I do them trying to give the best of myself. To have to go grocery shopping? Well, instead of just walking through the supermarket, let's look around. Let's look at people. We will discover that maybe a lot of people do their shopping at the same time as us and every time they come back at the same hour. People we might see continuously, people that we might know. How many times do we happen to pass by someone and not see them even though we know them because we are doing the same thing we don't pay any attention to? Instead, we could discover that, oh, my neighbor does the shopping in this place at this time. We always meet and we never see each other. And that's a very interesting thing that I discover. When we pay attention to what we do, time expands. It expands in a particular way. Because it's often said, when you're having fun, time flies, which is true. But do you know when else it flies? It also flies when we do things that annoy us to death. The day ends and we say, oh my God, what did I do? What happened today? The day is already gone and I didn't understand anything. I always do the same things. No, when we do something we really like. It's true that we have the feeling that this is a quality time that we are enjoying, so it doesn't wait on us. Time flies, but it doesn't pass so quickly. It's a substantial time. When I do things that I like, things to which I pay a lot of attention, I don't know how, but I have a lot of time to do other things as well. It's as if I fill that space. I didn't let it escape. On one side, it passes more quickly, but on the other side, it passes more slowly. Try it, because it's a truly incredible feeling. I remain timeless when I don't think about what I'm doing. But when I think about it, at the end of the day, I feel like I have accomplished an incredible amount of tasks. Now I'll tell you a story about my practice, my personal practice experience on the tatami. The moment I realized the power of this ritual was when I did the Senbongeko for the first time. This is the practice of the 1000 techniques in Aikido. It's usually done at the beginning of the year because, in fact, it's a ritual practice. It involves repeating a technique 1000 times, 500 times as Tori, the one who performs the technique, and 500 times as Uke, the one who receives the technique. Then you switch. The technique is Shiho Nage, and you have to repeat it without stopping. Your partner throws you, and you fall, get up, with a non-stop rhythm. The exercise goal is absolutely not to stop, not to rest, not to adjust your keikogi, not to look around, nothing. You have to repeat it. The rhythmic cadence is crucial. I was like, will I be able to do 1000 consecutive technique? Oh my, I will get tired to death. Who knows what will happen? But the point was that everyone else was doing that, so I thought, oh, come on, what? I have to do it. I went to do the same Bongeko with this partner, much more experienced than me, and we started. So after the first 10 techniques, I thought, well, okay, it's totally feasible. At 20, I was like, it's not bad. Let's keep going. Around 30 techniques, I started feeling the lactic acid, and I was like, I'm not completely sure I can make it. At 50, I wanted to die. At 100, I was like, okay, now I stop. Thanks, everyone. I've got nothing to prove. I look at my partner, who didn't even break a sweat because he knew he had tried it before. Obviously, he didn't talk, just kept counting. But he gave me this one look, meaning like, you know, you had 1 hour conversation behind this look, but we can essentially summarize it as, don't you dare stop. Keep going. So I thought, okay, I will do another 10 just to show him that I tried. And I did another 10. So I thought, okay, let's do another 50. So I mean, I will get to 150 repetition goal. And while thinking that, I was like, okay, let's try another 5 or 10 because my partner is not stopping, isn't stopping at all. So there was like no way to say, now, look, I mean, I'm here dying. I wasn't paying any attention to the fact that I was so tired. And around 200 techniques, my brain just shut down. I was counting without reflecting at all, executing the technique without thinking about anything. It became an exercise that went well beyond physical fatigue, because at that point I realized that the breakdown was purely and exclusively mental, not physical. At some point I kept going by inertia, and I don't know how we reached 1000. Yes, I couldn't sit in César position, the sitting position, for a week because I had sores on my feet, muscular pain to kill, and incredible fatigue. I don't even remember other times I've been so exhausted, but the satisfaction of reaching 1000, it was like, you know, indescribable. Above all, I understood the incredible power the mind has in controlling repetition. That movement, repeated so many times, eventually became a habit. And when it became a habit, the mind was still saying, oh, I don't want to do it. It hurts. Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to repeat it endlessly? It's a little bit like when we realize that we are repeating action we don't want to do when we say those kind of things, but we know we have to do them. In the moment when my brain shut down because I entered my partner's flow, that was the moment when the practice became a ritual. I understood that it wasn't a physical practice, but a meditation exercise. It needed to be sublimated in this way, giving space only to the mind. I had to work on perfecting my concentration and attention in terms of the mind, not the body. When I made this switch, when there was a shift towards the sacred elements of doing this exercise in the most perfect way possible, paying no attention to the body but focusing on my mind control, this exercise came out naturally. And not only did I not wait to do it again, But I never skipped the Sembongego again because it had become a fundamental repetition that taught me something about myself. So without bending our feet or ending up vomiting and other, you know, splatter elements, let's reflect on everything we don't like to do during the day, but we have to do. And we realize that it's a habit that we mistreat in every possible way. Let's transform it into a ritual. Say to ourselves, how can I make this movement, this exercise, this action perfect? How can I transform this action into something that only I can do? How can I give it my essence? How can I make it sacred? Let's try to do it at least for one action of our day that we are forced to repeat. Let's transform habits into rituals and you will see how much of your day changes and especially how your perception of time changes that day. Comment on the post of this episode on Instagram and let me know if you tried doing this exercise or if you have already transformed your habits into rituals. How do you feel about this possibility? And don't forget to send me a DM on Instagram so we can develop ideas together for the next episode. As you know, this space for me is a pretext to create a community that engages in dialogue. And if you think this exercise can be useful to someone, share this episode and leave me feedback so we can grow the show together. Thank you for being with me, and I'll see you in the next episode.